I want to say shout out to all the raccoons and campers. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby.
Sunny La. Kwei.
Why eat beef snack seal?
Tan She.
Tanet E. Negat Dakote.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Why Epeat Snuck Silch, Kintilson Pinkton. My name is Tracy Kimbono, and I am a storyteller, filmmaker, and Stimtima grandmother. I've done thousands of interviews in my career, but I have to admit that this one had me feeling a bit nervous. It was tougher than I expected because I was talking to my daughter, Cece Metk, Marissa Bono. Cece Metk is a strong and independent Siulch woman, someone I raised to be proud of her Siulch roots and confident in her voice. It was pretty special to hear her thoughts about our family's journey to becoming fluent in our language.
Why isqui Cece Metk, Kintilson Pinkton? So I just said, hi, my name is, and my Insilchin name, which is Cece Metk, which means a little stream that you get medicine from. And I said that I'm from Penticton. My name comes from the Columbia River. My great-grandmother is from the States near Inchilim. And that is a hereditary name from the Kinkanahua line, the Salmon Chief line. I think the responsibility of the name is, I think it's not just myself as one, but my family as a whole. We have a responsibility to protect the water, especially the women. And I know the men in my family, and some of the men are trained to undertake the water ceremony. So I think it's deeper than just me. I think as a whole, as a family, it's our responsibility to take care of the water. Not only the water, but the living things that depend on the water and the timhulau, the land that depends on the water. So when I was about three, my great-grandma Lily gave me my name in a name-giving ceremony. And all of my friends and family and as many community members that wanted to come joined at the longhouse, and I was given a blanket put around me, and I was given my Insilchin name.
And the longhouse was up at Owl Rock?
Yeah. 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 I was three, so I don't quite remember, but yeah. I think my brother's was done at the longhouse at my grandma's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was done at Owl Rock.
And so do you have any relatives that always remember your name from that time on?
Yeah, the main person that's always remembered my name is obviously my direct family, my grandma, my grandpa, my mom, but also, randomly enough, my Uncle Tubuk always remembers my name, and he was there at the name-giving ceremony. And I think that's what that ceremony is for, is so that people will know and remember your name. And also that that is to be nobody else's name.
Okay, tell me about your name and how you got your name. And, you know, do people call you by your name? Do they remember your name?
A lot of people do remember my name. But there's one specific uncle that always remembers my name. And his name is Tubuk. Ever since I was a kid, he always called me by that, and he was actually there to witness my name giving. So I find that kind of special.
So that witnessing ceremony is so that everybody will remember your name, and then you also mentioned about any other people having that name.
Yeah, I think the name giving ceremony is also important because names are important, and in some way we've lost a little bit of that through colonization and residential school. So by having people witness the name giving, it ensures that nobody else has that name because it's to be for just one person. There are some names that can be shared by more than one person, but my specific name is not to go to anyone until I've passed.
So, Marissa, what I wanted to first of all talk to you about the Tsleil-Waututh'en language, and you know, me being your mom and knowing that language is important to you. And the reason that I know that is because you made it a point to apply for a program called the Mentor Apprentice Program to work with your grandmother to become more fluent in the Tsleil-Waututh'en language. Can you tell me why that was important for you to engage in that program?
I think it was important to me to engage in the Mentor Apprentice Program because I see that our language speakers are getting older, especially our first speakers. And my grandma Jeanette, she's a first speaker, which means that's her first language. And so it was important to me because I wanted to ensure that I could pass along the language to my kids. At the time, I didn't have any kids and I wasn't planning on it, but I have a daughter now. And so being in that program, looking back in my 20s was crucial. Even for my employment, it's crucial, so I can share it with coworkers and share it in community notices and stuff like that.
Okay, so when you started to pick it up, how often would you meet with your grandmother to build your fluency?
We met at least 3 times a week. Some weeks varied. Some was more, some was less, and then sometimes it was like several hours, or sometimes it was just a whole. It was like 8 hours. Sometimes it was a 1 hour. It was just whenever we could meet, we did. We did cultural activities and just regular activity. So we harvested foods and medicines, we processed them, and then we would do simple things like cooking and like activities like shopping, just to get different words. And yeah, we did basically everything you can do, but with the Tsleil-Waututh'en added.
What was it within you that said, I need to learn my language?
I think it was just important to me. I always knew it was important to me because I think it was reiterated my whole childhood how important language is and how it connects you to the land, and it's kind of like a missing piece in a lot of people. Like, you can do all the cultural activities, but if you don't have the language, you can't quite understand some things the same. And yeah, just seeing the language speakers getting older and the loss of language, I wanted to be part of carrying it on.
So I'm your mom, and one of the things that I want to ask you is, do you remember the language being spoken very much while you were growing up?
I remember words, so I don't remember full sentences being spoken, but I remember a lot of words that would be used. I didn't know some of the plants we harvested. I didn't actually know their English names until I got older. And one word I remember, like, to this day, is one of the first Tsleil-Waututh'en words I remember is chust, so like hurry up. And I remember you and my dad used to use that a lot.
I am the first generation in my family who is not fluent in Tsleil-Waututh'en. I often feel lonely and sad about this lack of fluency, especially when I'm around fluent speakers and I can see the joy and animation in their conversations. This makes me feel even more isolated. There are times when I shed tears in private, reflecting on how much time has passed with my work and life, as well as my mom and my uncles advancing in age. It's a quiet heartache that lingers within me.
Yeah, that's hard to think about as a mother, because I didn't really think about it like that, how fast that can happen. I definitely feel grief about that, and almost guilt, even though it's like not our fault, but there's definitely like a guilt and responsibility to change that. But yeah, it's really hard to hear you frame it like that. And yeah, there's a lot of grief there, because I feel like we were stripped of something that's an inherent part of our identity, and it's so hard to get back because of the way the world works. We're forced to work and raise kids, and we don't have a village. And so where does that leave language, right? And yeah, that's a hard, harsh reality to come upon.
Hearing my daughter share her feelings about being denied the chance to speak her language was a deeply moving experience. As she spoke her truth, we locked eyes. A profound sadness washed over both of us. Despite our best efforts, this moment became a powerful awakening, reminding us of the strength that comes from facing our challenges together. We're going to visit more with Marissa and another special little guest. Right now, though, I want to share this song with you from Francis Baptiste. Francis sings some of his songs in Ensilchin. To hear popular music and language is very remarkable, and it makes my heart happy. This is Francis Baptiste and Snaksilch Family. Was Francis Baptiste with Snaksilch Family. Watch for his new album, Lived Experience in East Vancouver, this summer. I'm Tracy Kim Bono, your host for the Silk episodes of Words and Culture. Before the musical break, Marissa and I were talking about how difficult it is knowing that we're not fluent. But we are trying to break that and get language into my granddaughter, Marissa's daughter. I asked Marissa to share her name.
Her name is Kaka Wimp, and that is also a hereditary name. It was my great-grandma Lily's Ensilchin name, And she was given that name on her first birthday.
And so is Kakawink speaking the language now? I mean, I know that because I've been teaching her little words. How is she displaying language use?
Yeah, so she is only 21 months. So she's just developing regular language skills, but she's already using like several words. For example, chich chicht for hot. She said testust. I think you taught her that. She says to her dog choy pick. And she calls herself quetch quetched when she lifts something heavy, and that means strong. So she's starting to use the language more and more. And it's all the words that we learned from our group, minus testost.
Testost.
Yeah.
What does testost mean?
I heard it was like you're displaying something as frustration, similar to a swear word.
Yeah, so testost is like, if you could put it into a word, it would be like shaking your head, but that's really,
yeah,
you're shaking your head at somebody, right?
Yeah, and frustrated.
Like if you told them to move forward and they went backwards,
yeah,
you would go testos.
Yeah,
yeah. So Ember now says that to us.
Yeah, she does.
And she actually says it in the right context.
She does say it in the right context.
Yeah, so that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I found really impressive when you were out shopping one day with Tim, I had no idea that she could count in Insilchin, and she must have picked it up from the daycare or you, because I counted to her when she was an infant. But I said Nox, and then she said Nox, and then I said Asil, and then she said Asil, and then I said Chilks, then she said Chilks, and then she went Moose.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so shocked that she knew what came next. Like she started, you know, like she already knew how to count. Did she pick that up in the daycare, or?
I think both. I've been teaching her to count, but the great thing about the daycare that we have now is that they have language in the daycare, and so she does pick up a lot from there to supplement.
So this MAP group that you're in, what is the length of the program, this mentor-apprentice program with the parents and toddlers?
I think it was from the summer to the spring, so September to March.
And so if it ends in March, what will you be doing next to revitalize your language other than you and I practicing?
Well, I've talked to the other MAP group people, and we want to continue on meeting and doing language even without getting compensation. We have planned like camping trips, like for harvesting, and like just meeting up one day. It won't be as frequent as we have been doing, but we definitely want to keep getting together even without the incentives.
How are you and Ember going to carry on your language learning? Like, how are we going to do it together? I mean, I feel like I'm putting it all on you, but what do you think we need to do, you and I, together to keep our language going?
I think even if you started out with 5 minutes, 5 minutes, and then work your way up, 5 minutes of non-English a day, and then you just work it up, like having English-free time, I think that would help, because I think people want to do this big thing to continue on their language, and that's great if you can do it. I am a working mom of a toddler and plan to expand my family. That isn't realistic to me, but I think starting wherever you can is better than nothing. I've always heard this saying, and it stuck with me. whatever is worth doing poorly. So even if you can only do it halfway, at least you're doing it. And I think people get caught up when they do language and they say, they think it's too overwhelming, it's too time consuming. It doesn't have to be. It's whatever you can fit in that works for you and your family. Even if you don't ever become fluent and you just know 10 words, that's 10 more words that you didn't know. And maybe one of those 10 words is a word that somebody in the far future may not know, and you know that one of those 10 words. So I think there's a place for everybody in language learning and language revival.
Yeah. That is really remarkable that you look at it that way, because I feel as I'm aging, you know, when I'm looking at Kukuwimt and you, and I'm thinking, did I do enough? I should have done more. And but now that you put it that way, it actually makes sense that what language we do have is enough, and that we can just build on that.
Mm-hmm.
So how comfortable are you in telling me a little story in the language, a very short story? Like you said, you can do some small sentences. Are you at a comfort level where you could tell me where you went or?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll see if I know what you're saying.
Sure. So, kintil, ul kin hoi ko sintumistin, ul kin isam istiko. Kiwa.
Kin hoi.
No, kin kintil.
Kintil. So you got up.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Kin hoi ko sintumistin.
So you got up and then you went to work. No,
Sintu. Went to the store.
Oh, see, I'm...
Ushkin isam istikol.
So you got up, you went to the store.
Mm-hmm.
Loot.
And I bought some food.
Oh my goodness, you know more than me. Okay, let me see if I can... If I share a sentence, if you know what I'm saying... kinhoy ko people sawya in Ukmin.
So you said you went to Beaverdale, but I don't know Ukmin.
In a 4x4.
Oh, in a 4x4 Ukmin.
Yeah, and the reason I wanted to do that is because I have a different mentor than you.
Yeah.
And that really does, I know that's how you and I have built our language up, is that your mentor is my mom,
mm-hmm.
and my mentor is my mom's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some words that I know that I learned from my uncle because I went out on the land, and there's some words that you know because you did practical things with your grandma, my mom, to the store.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's cool. You want to try one more?
Yeah. Kin weekend e silhua mukmukuyut ur kin weekend e sneakcha.
Okay, so I saw a big mount on the big mountain a elk.
Yeah.
Oh, that was tough. I was a little.
I really loved sharing the language with Marissa. We continued on speaking to one another and translating the other sentences for a while. So here are some of the words I'm teaching her.
Ember, is that kwamkwamt?
Kukut.
That means good. Kwamkwamt.
Kukut.
Oh yeah. Your taste good, kwamkwamt.
Kukut.
Say chlap. Chlap. Does that mean stop? Chlap. Chlap. Say wait. Why Kokolimpt? Kokolimpt. Oh, you don't feel like talking right now? Say loot.
Loot.
Can you say tama?
Tama.
Tama.
Apple.
Tama.
Apple. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Apple.
Ember, can you say pach pacht?
Pach pacht.
Can you say chich chich?
Chich chich.
Can you say nux?
Nux.
A seal?
Ish.
Kathleen?
Moose.
Moose, you knew what four was already. Yes. Chilks.
Tuckum.
Say loot. 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 That means no. Loot.
No.
Loot.
Loot.
Loot, don't touch. Good girl. Chest. Can you say pach pacht? Pach pacht. Pach pacht. Okay, listen, Ember. Say amma.
Amma.
Is it amma time?
Amma.
Amma. Does that mean you're going to sleep now?
Sleep.
Okay. Sleep is amma. Amma. Amma, amma, amma.
Kakawimpt is my granddaughter's name, and it carries profound significance for me as it was passed down from her great-grandmother, Lillian Louis Armstrong, who was born speaking the language. Now, as a Stimtima, I hold on to the hope that by the time Kakawimpt reaches my age, she will be speaking the language and continuing this beautiful legacy. It's been wonderful sharing time with you on this episode of Words and Culture. I'm Tracy Kimbono. Until next time, Ninuis Achacha Miku Kwakwalt.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Hausin Dang King Sam.
Maltus.
Ninuis Achacha Miku Kwakwalt.
Kachu Nautano.
Wapamatin Mina.
Broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain, BC, we are CJSF 90.1 FM, and we are diverse, independent, and yours.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. At doctor's offices, hospitals, and schools, nurses advise patients about their health risks and ways to protect themselves. Nurse practitioner Gina Friel says those conversations should include talking about the health risks caused by climate change, like extreme heat waves, longer allergy seasons, and wildfire smoke.
Nurses are an essential force for protecting those at risk from climate-related health impacts.
But research shows that less than a quarter of nurses feel confident talking to their patients about the changing climate. Friel works with the Global Consortium on Climate and Health Education at Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health. Her group offers online resources and a free virtual course called Nursing on the Front Lines of the Climate Crisis, Education for Action. It covers topics ranging from the growing threat of vector-borne disease to the mental health impacts of disasters. When it launched last fall, more than 3,000 nurses from six continents signed up.
And almost 70% of the registrants for the course never had any climate and health training.
So the initiative is preparing nurses to help keep their patients safe as the climate warms. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.